Welcome back to The Blend on WDIY 88.1. And special welcome to Bagiti Kumalo.
Yes.
Whose song we just heard there, that was Talago from This Is Me. And we were just speaking, this is, when did you record this?
Oh my God, it's like way 80s.
80s. And you were saying this was before Graceland. And that brings us to an important point. Let me introduce Bagiti Kumalo. He is a bass player from South Africa. And your first professional gig was at the age of 7. I understand you came from a very musical family.
Yes.
And then somehow you found yourself in the middle of Paul Simon's recording studios for Graceland in South Africa. How did that happen?
Man, it's a journey. You know, I was very fortunate and very blessed that I played on some recordings that they end up in Paul's hands. But everything started at home, of course, that my uncle is a saxophone player. And so I just always like to watch him playing, and he'll take me to his wedding gigs in the township, and I just love what he was doing. So I started to meet his friends, like the bass player and everybody that was playing with him. So, but then I switched my interest from saxophone to bass, you know.
So what kind of music was your uncle playing at
this? You know, funny thing about my uncle, he was more like Duke Ellington, Count Basie's stuff that he used to listen, because that was a lot of that music that was on the radio station in South Africa. So my uncle put the big band together to play that kind of music. You know, like.
Yeah. So
and then people will be dancing, but then he mixed it up with some township stuff, you know, like where they play the penny whistles and other stuff. But that one, people, they really never like to listen to that very much. They like, you know, the big band stuff.
Really? No kidding. So, yeah. So you got a really diverse musical background then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, you know, radio station in South Africa was playing a lot of American, British music because, you know, of course, the radio station was controlled by the government.
Yeah.
So everything that is played on the radio, you know. So I used to listen to James Jamerson and
the great Motown.
Danny Clark and all the great bass players, Ron Carter, and then maybe very little of the township music because you know, that music was not really recorded, the traditional South African music.
Well, apparently that township music, a bootleg of it, found its way into Paul Simon's hands, and he was listening to it incessantly back in, I guess, 1986 or something.
And that's what brought
him to South Africa?
Yeah, the guy who introduced that music to Paul, he was a good friend of Paul. So he sent him one of the recordings, and Paul got very interested. And then he flew to South Africa, find all the musicians, and I was part of that. And I had no idea who the guy is. You know? Still today. No, I'm just kidding.
So did anybody know who Paul Simon was?
In South Africa?
In South Africa. Was he well
only
known?
Only some people knew it, but not very much, like the township, like in the suburbs. You know, white musicians, they knew who Paul Simon was. But in the township, because the music is the township music, and then, you know, stuff that came on the radio.
And so then you and, were you friends with most of the other session guys on this?
The one on the record?
Yeah, on the record.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and I grew up under them, and also Boyoyo Boys, the one they played in a township song on Paul. Yeah, so we all grew up together.
Ray Peary,
he was a great friend of mine, and he used to get me a lot of recordings.
That's great. Well, apparently you ended up being one of the centerpieces for a recording that sold over 16 million copies.
Yes.
And won a Grammy in 1987.
Yeah.
And I think you're most famous for the two-bar bass break that you play in,
Call Me Out.
You Can Call Me Out. How did that happen? A bass break in a pop song is a fairly unusual thing to happen.
Yeah. I mean, this was a gift that I was given, because it was my birthday when I recorded that bass solo. We recorded the body of the song in South Africa, Call Me Out, but then we came back to New York, you know, to record the rest of the instrument. So, and then I asked Paul, I said, you know, it's my birthday today, so can I just play a little something on that breakdown? And he said, yeah, go ahead, and if it's good, we'll keep it. If not, we'll find something else. And then I just played, and then the engineer went crazy, Roy Haley.
Roy Haley, right.
He went really crazy and said, that's it, you know? I mean, I played, and then he stopped, and I thought this was terrible what I did, but... He says, come over here, you know, like behind the glass. He's like, yeah, come listen to this.
Wow.
Then I listened, and he did all this magic, you know, cut the two bars, and then to put the two bars backwards. And I was like, wow, now I got to learn how to play this.
So, and he was actually using digital equipment at that point, too, I think. So
no, back then it was like it was all the analog, you know, like, right. You know, all the stuff that he had to really turn the tape backwards and all. I mean, he did. Some incredible
Ray
stuff.
Ray Haley, he recorded The Loving Spoonful, The Dave Clark Five, Yardbirds, and Simon and Garfunkel. He did all
their
stuff.
Yeah, he was responsible for all those hits.
Yeah. And so then Paul Simon brought you over to the States to record, and then you've ended up spending a lot of time with him, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, when I saw the opportunity, the minute I got on the plane from South Africa to come to America, I said, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
So what do I do with this? Stay focused, stay consistent, and clean up the mess and practice every day. So, and I just said, listen, now it's in God's hands, you know, whatever happens, but I'm planning to stay.
Sounds great. I want to play something else. One of your solo, from one of your solo releases called Change. This is a piece called Sweet Potatoes. Do you remember recording this?
Yes, Sweet Potatoes. Yes, I did this. You know, it's funny. I recorded this in Bethlehem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, this is Sweet Potato from Bakiti Kumala from Change. We are back on The Blend, WDIY 88.1, Many Choices, Real Voices. We're talking this afternoon with Bakiti Kumalo, and that you just listened to Sweet Potatoes from his release Change, which was recorded here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I went to a restaurant to eat some good food, and then they had sweet potatoes on the menu, and I was like, wow, that's like a song, and the food was so good. And I had to come home and create a piece.
Yeah, that's great. We've been talking during the song. We should have been listening, but we were talking. And Bakiti tells me that he's toured with Paul Simon for 32 years?
Yeah.
32 years,
yeah,
which
not
is...
not long.
I mean, that's quite a lot of touring. You've been, I guess, to just about every place in the world.
It's 32 years of learning.
So what's it like to tour with a big, you know, very professional band like that? Do you guys actually get together and rehearse before the tour? How does
this
all work?
Oh my God, man. I tell you, I've never seen anybody who likes to rehearse like Paul. I mean, Paul, he'd rather rehearse for 6 months and not have a gig.
Really?
Because he just liked to work on some things and just get to know the band and make sure that the band understand what the story about the songs is singing about.
So does he talk to you about the song?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Sometimes we work on one song for a week so that the song goes into your heart, so you really understand the song in and out, because the message on the song and the instruments, how everybody has to play on the song to make that story to shine.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the full band's there, this is, what, about 10 people or at least?
Well, yeah, when we started with the Graceland, we had probably maybe like almost 20 people on stage. We have 10 pieces of Ladysmith Black Mambazo plus the 10 pieces of the musicians.
Wow. Yeah.
But he had a moment for everyone to make sure that everybody understand.
You were saying to me over the break that he's really quite demanding and a perfectionist.
Of course. I mean, like, he knows his music like nobody, you know. So when you work with him, you really have to pay attention and listen and learn so much from him because he's very demanding.
Wow. Well, tell me a little bit about, on September 1st, you're going to be playing at the Levitt Pavilion at Steelstacks.
Yes.
Which is a free concert, and
yes,
it's a tribute to Graceland. Can you tell me about the band that you're playing with?
Well, the band is from Philadelphia, and these guys, they found me, and they called me to say, look, we learned Paul Simon's music, and we want you to come and listen to us. Bring your bass and you can play if you feel like, and if we're good, you know, join us. So then I went to Philadelphia, I listened to them. Man, I said, man, these guys, they're unbelievable. I mean, they're music teachers, they're great musicians, but they pick these songs, the Graceland songs, and, you know, some of the stuff like Cecilia and, you know, some of the songs that's not on the Graceland. And they put this piece together. I had to play with them. So I've been doing a couple of shows with them. And
sounds really fun. And I think they're
amazing. Ryan Tennis.
Yeah,
I told him I was going to call him when I get to the station so he can say hello. I don't know if we can.
So he's the vocalist then for the All-Star
Band. He's a
singer, yes.
He's a singer from Philadelphia. Yeah. And he's running all the that tribute band. And then, of course, doing this with them, it's an honor because, you know, now Paul is going for the final farewell tour.
Oh, really?
Yes. So this makes sense for me and this young musician to say, let's honor this man who did so much for this music. And then also for me being part of the Graceland and these young musicians, they picked the Graceland, and I'm just so blessed.
Speaking about young people, I know you've been involved. You actually live here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
And you're very involved in the community. Can you talk a little bit about...
Well, I'm a community person. You know, I was born in township and, you know, struggling so hard. I remember I had no bass for about, you know, until I was about in the late 20s. But I still carry that with me. Like, you know, I want to support. I want to be part of the community. And... of course, my kids, they go to school here, you know, and which is another reason why I came here, because I used to live in Long Island, but my kids, they pick the schools here, because also my brother-in-law, he lives in Lansdale, so we used to drive back and forth, you know, Long Island, Lansdale, you know, when we came here, and I thought, hey, this is a great, great place. There's so much history about Pennsylvania, and, you know, of course, so many great musicians from Pennsylvania, like Jaco, Victor Bailey, Stanley Clark, all these great bass players, and I felt like, you know what, maybe this is the place. But working with the young people is to teach them, you know, where I came from and how I play and how, you know, how they can get there, you know, it's to contribute to them. Because as we learn stuff, we learn to be teachers to teach. You know, now for me to give to the young people and let them know, like, hey, there's a South African right in your backyard.
Yeah.
You know, learn from this. So I do this with the kids in Long Island. I put the set list together, a bunch of kids to have 15 songs, and then go on tour with them, did a couple of shows with them in Long Island to raise funds for kids who doesn't have money for the school music lessons or money. So something that, you know, I can support the community. And also I like to teach and I like to be here. You
That's
know?
Wonderful. Okay, another question on my list here is apparently you like to play the bass ukulele.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Well, the bass ukulele it was born 6 years ago. I met this guy, actual friend of mine, Rick Carlson. Now he works for Phil Jones bass amp that I'm playing. But he used to work for Kala, K-A-L-A brand, there in San Francisco. And then he invited me, says, hey, man, come see this instrument. We were at the NAMM show in Los Angeles. And so then I went to check out the bass. And I said, yeah, man, this is very nice. I can take this and give it to my kids because it's so small. They said, no, play this thing and talk to me afterwards. Then I took the bass and I plug in and I play. I couldn't stop playing it.
Wow.
And I said, man, I can believe this thing. It's so small, but the sound is unbelievable. So then I keep playing, and then I told them later on what they need to improve on the bass. It's really great, but there's a couple of things that they can change, and then they started to build it.
Wow.
So, and then it became my signature. So I have a signature model, and a lot of people play that kind of bass. Nathan East, Esperanza Spalding, and Tal, who played with Jeff Beck, you know, just a lot of people.
Wow.
Great instrument, good for the kids to learn, and it's good for grown-ups, it's good for everybody.
That's really, really exciting. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
One last thing. Yeah, I, you know, listening to your bass playing, you seem to use a lot of space. You got very fast fingers, you know, listen to some of your stuff, but you leave a lot of space in between it. And it makes me think of the bass as, you know, not just a tonal instrument, but very much a percussion instrument.
Well, you know, the bass for me, I believe, it's the part of the drums. If you do it right, it's not about a whole bunch of notes, you know, you play. And then, of course, also being a recording artist with all these great musicians, I kind of learn how to keep things very simple, because the bass sometimes can take over, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you listen to the song, you're trying to understand the story, and then the bass is, like, doing something to take you away from that, so it's too much confusion. And then, of course, thanks to Paul, because he has an ear for that, you know.
Really?
He was always telling me, you know, you don't have to play all the time.
Wow.
You know, just sometimes leave the space, and when you come in, it's like, oh, my God, you know, it's like Earth, you know. And I remember when he released the record, I think it was, there's one record that doesn't have the bass on Paul's record. We did about 4 or 5 years ago. I was worried because, and I'm like, wow, you know, now I guess I'm not going to do the next tour because there's no bass.
No.
But then he calls me to show up at the rehearsal to listen to the without music, without the bass, and I'm sitting there with my bass. I can't play. Every time I pick up the bass and play, he says, no, don't play. Just listen, or just go have some coffee or take a nap, you know, whatever. You know, every day I come in but he explained to me, like, just listen and pick the place where you can play. Because there's so many instruments. We have drums, we have percussion, we have like three guitars, and we have this and that. So, you know, like, make a space. I said, you know what? This is good. So I took that. And then also, too, that helps with the tone of the bass, because the less you play, you can hear the instrument, what it sounds like.
Right.
You get a good tone. So
it's
that's why
resonate.
My tone is so...
Well, speaking of listening, September 1st, the All-Star Graceland Band will be at Steel Stacks Levitt Pavilion featuring Bakiti Kumalo.
With Ryan Tennis.
And Ryan Tennis on the vocals. Should be an exciting, and it's a free concert, which is really cool, too. Thanks so much for being with us, Bakiti. It's been a pleasure having you here in the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here at the WDIY.
And
the great station.
Thank you very much. And we're going to go out with You Can Call Me Al from Paul Simon's Graceland featuring Bakiti Kumalo on the bass.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this.